This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, November 19th, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. White House groundwater report coming. GT on farm bill extension and White House puts number to disaster aid. White House to issue groundwater report. The President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology plans to release a report on improving national groundwater security. The White House advisors defer to state and local governments with regulations, but recommended federal incentives for better management. The report offers innovation grants as one incentive and to account for the economic value of groundwater within natural capital assessments. The federal government could also help with standardizing data collection, making modeling tools more accessible, and promoting workforce development in groundwater management. In addition, it calls for a national initiative on recharging aquifers. According to the Northern California Water Association, six House Republicans have raised skepticism over the report's cost and are pushing for more details on its preparation. AgriPulse adds Ward as international trade editor. Oliver Ward has joined the AgriPulse editorial team as the digital media firm's international trade editor. Ward has several years of experience reporting and writing on trade and international economics for media outlets in the U.S. and abroad. He joins AgriPulse from Inside U.S. Trade, a print and digital trade publication that is part of the Inside Washington Publishers news service. You can read the full report at agripulse.com. Farm bill impasse. Stabenow outlines her vision. House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson is ready to move another extension of the 18 Farm Bill. He acknowledges to reporters that lawmakers are unlikely to consider the measure in the lame duck session. Thompson said, quote, "We're prepared for an extension." Meanwhile, Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow finally released the text of her farm bill, but it is said to be dead on arrival. For starters, the bill does not include reference price increases of the size that Republicans want, and it contains no cuts to the nutrition title. Take note, the legislation would force Donald Trump to get congressional approval to use the Commodity Credit Corporation to compensate farmers in the case of a new trade war or for other reasons. Thompson continues to say the CCC restriction is needed even though Trump will be in the White House. He said, quote, "I found it incredible. Stabenow included the CCC provision in her draft, given the fact that I was the bad guy for proposing that now for a year, over 2 years." Stabenow told reporters she offered to agree to the CCC restriction back in September, but that Republicans stood their ground on other provisions unacceptable to her. Then, finally, "We heard from some folks at the end of October that they wanted to wait to see if President Trump was elected and what he wanted to do," Stabenow said. Stabenow, who is retiring at the end of this Congress, described the bill as her vision for what the next farm bill should look like. Senate Ag Committee top Republican John Bozeman of Arkansas said the 11th-hour partisan proposal from Stabenow was insulting. So what's next? Well, Congress has until the end of the year to pass another extension of the 18 Farm Bill. There are also some discussions about ad hoc relief for market losses. White House out with disaster aid request. President Biden is asking Congress for a whopping $21 billion in aid to farmers who lost crops and livestock to hurricanes, drought, and wildfire for 23 and for 24. It remains to be seen how much of that request Congress will agree to cover. The White House told Congress in the 2022 losses totaling $10 billion, but lawmakers only appropriated one-third of that amount. USDA subsequently angered Republicans and some farm groups by prorating the aid payments in a way that favored smaller-scale producers. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. H5N1 hit workers in California and Oregon. The Oregon Health Authority says a worker in that state who was infected with HPI, or highly pathogenic avian influenza, has recovered. The worker was in an egg farm in Clackamas County. The case was one of six human cases reported by health authorities on Friday, including five in California, where the number of dairy herds that have been infected with the H5N1 virus has hit 335, that according to the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, including 201 in the last 30 days. The California workers were on dairy farms, the CDC said. Across the country, the total number of herds infected since the virus began spreading from Texas in March is 549 in 15 states. Meanwhile, 52 people have been infected. Hawaii hit. The virus was detected in a backyard non-poultry flock in Honolulu County, Hawaii. APHIS said yesterday it is the first case of HPAI in domestic birds in Hawaii during this outbreak, which began in February 2022. Carr to lead FCC under Trump. Brendan Carr, currently the senior Republican on the Federal Communications Commission, has been tapped to chair the agency during the Trump administration. Carr was first nominated to the FCC in 2017. He is a well-known supporter of both 5G expansion and rural broadband access. In a statement, Shirley Bloomfield, the CEO of NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association, called Carr a, quote, champion of rural broadband who understands the importance of getting and keeping communities connected. A take note, Carr vigorously opposed a 2023 board decision to revoke an $885 million Rural Digital Opportunity Fund award to Starlink, satellite internet subsidiary of Elon Musk, SpaceX, due to concerns about the company's ability to, quote, demonstrate that it could deliver the promised service to 640,000 rural homes and businesses. Carr, in his dissenting opinion, argued the decision, quote, certainly fits the Biden administration's pattern of regulatory harassment against companies associated with Elon Musk, further claiming it, quote, does not hang together when measured against the law, facts, or policy. Here's today's final word. Ignorance trumps knowledge in this case, so don't minimize ignorance from a political point of view. It's a very important factor in how we do business. That former Governor Jerry Brown reflecting on the effort to pass SGMA during a day-long conference commemorating 10 years since its passage, hosted by the Department of Water Resources. Brown explained the approach was that, quote, if we had to deal with only people who know what the hell they're doing, we wouldn't be getting anywhere. We would be fighting all the time. I believe that no legislator who represented a significant number of farmers voted yes. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, November 19th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.